There's not an obstetrician in the whole damn country that will do a third of the number of patients I do. And they get twice, three times as much money.
Right.
So you have to be a, first thing you have to be a public health physician is a dyed-in-the-wool kind of a religious fanatic with public health as your religion, and you work like, I mean, you're just like a missionary, you know?
Yes.
The same thing, you know.
Exactly.
Just the same thing.
This is one tape in a series of interviews on health care in the 20th century rural Kentucky, sponsored by the Oral History Commission and the Kentucky Folk History Foundation. I'm in the office of Dr.
M.A. Shepherd.
M.A. Shepherd. Dr. Shepherd is the medical director of the regional health office here in Somerset. Dr. Shepherd has just returned from a long day at a family planning clinic in McCrory County. Dr. Shepherd, can you briefly tell me your educational background? Well, we'll get to that. Where are you a native of?
I was born on the Smithtown Ridge in McCrory County, and but my father moved his family to a farm in the north part of Pulaski County, and I attended school at Science Hill there. This was from the time I was 3 or 4 years old that I lived on the farm. And
where did you get your college education and your medical training?
Well, I before World War II, I went to Berea College a couple of years, and I came back out of the service. I had the benefit of the GI Bill behind me, so I could go to medical school, and did at the University of Louisville. And then I practiced in private practice for a couple of years at Harrodsburg. And then I went into public health work, doing a 2-year stint in Henderson, Webster, and Union counties as a tri-county health officer. From there, I went to the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill for my Master of Public Health degree. And as soon as I qualified for my boards in preventive medicine, I took those and was certified by the American Board of Preventive Medicine in, I forgot what year.
That's not that important. What made you feel you should get into the public health field? Did this work? Did you have some exposure to preventive medicine at the University of Louisville, or did this come out of the frustrations of your private practice? So,
came out of frustrations of private practice. Medical University of Louisville, no different from most of the other medical schools. There's very little of preventive medicine taught there, and what is taught is really, I mean, the students have very little interest in it, and it goes over their heads. They're not interested or concerned in preventive medicine.
Sort of like introductory courses in college. It's a lot of stuff there, but
yeah, they don't. There's no interest. They don't pay attention to it, don't stick with them, and when they come out, they know nothing about preventive medicine. So I was like one of those. But in private practice, I was somewhat frustrated after a couple of years in which I had lots of people with problems, and they came to me too late, and the reason they came to me too late was because they were poor, they had no way to go, nowhere to get to be reached. Nobody was reaching them with what they needed to know about how to take care of their health, you see. And so when I saw them, they were terminal with heart disease, hypertension, and you name it. These kinds of things. And this is very frustrating. I felt like I was working myself to death, and I wasn't accomplishing very much in private practice. I did lots of surgery and lots of, I did a general practice, and I did obstetrics and mental health and pediatrics and surgery and psychiatry and even industrial health. And I was working myself to death. So I went 7 days a week round the clock, and after 2 years with no sleep, I was had become a physical wreck, and I had to make a change. And even though I didn't think I would like public health, it was a place to work until I had decided what I wanted to do. And I liked it because approaching the control of disease in man at the right stage where you can do something about it, and one man can save hundreds of lives in no time at all. You can see where you're saving lives. I mean, you can see where you're preventing disease and suffering and so forth. And but the initial attraction it had for me was the freedom from the telephone and freedom to relax on weekends and not just be fighting a crisis all the time.
Get a little Sabbath rest.
That's right.
Now, you had this practice, and then you went and got a master's degree in public health from Chapel Hill. Did you come directly here from Chapel Hill?
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. Was it a regional office here then?
2 years in public health before I went to Chapel Hill. In this 2 years, I decided that public health was what I wanted. And then I went to Chapel Hill and specialized in public health. And I came here. I came here as a county health officer in three counties. And these changed from time to time. In other words, I gave up one county and took another. But I stayed in three counties for 4 years. At that time, Dr. Teague, the Commissioner of Health, had persuaded me to establish a regional office of the State Department of Health here in Somerset. This is an idea that had been knocking about in our heads for about 3 or 4 years. In fact, since I had come back from School of Public Health, they had asked me if, when they were ready, I would head up a regional office of the State Department of Health. They wanted to divide the state into six regions so that it could be managed more closely to where the problems were.
What year was that approximately?
That was in 1964 that they established, that I established the regional office here.
Now, the regional office presently covers all the Ad District, Cumberland Ad District, doesn't it?
Lake Cumberland and Cumberland Valley, those two ad districts were covered by the regional office. See, there are 15 ad districts in Kentucky, but we were going to cover them with six regional offices for public health purposes, for public health management.
Now, you're presently the medical director of this regional office.
I'm a medical director of an entirely different concept from the regional office that I originally established. After 8 years in the regional office, which was a branch office of the Office of Local Health Administration at the state level and was a state-run office, found that couldn't work effectively with the program management in the 22 counties I had, because each county health department was locally, had its own local board and was sort of locally autonomous, you see, and they could make up their minds whether they was going to do something or not.
Right.
And as regional director, I had no power over them, really. Mm-hmm. I didn't even have the power to cut their money off because that money is pretty well committed by the politicians, mm-hmm. and I didn't have even the control of it. Mm-hmm. much less their programs, because they were locally autonomous. And I was principally an advisor and consultant, and without authority. And so after 8 years of this, we decided that the only way you're really going to change programs and keep them current with the change in public health need was to establish a district of counties which would have the authority and the power to hire and fire the staff and decide, make program decisions. And this would have a district board of health composed of representatives from each of the county boards.
Now, when was this and local board established in Pulaski?
Yeah, the district, you're talking about the district?
No, sir, board. I'm talking about the local board. I was trying to go way health. Back. Yeah, the now, first when the first full time public health officer. You remember when that was here in Pulaski?
I don't really know. It's mm-hmm. been
just approximate date, just to give us a feel for it. It's before we ever had any public health work, except maybe a part-time private physician. And you can't recall exactly when that. Was it Dr. Norfleet that was the first full-time?
No, we had many before Dr. Norfleet.
I see.
The health. County Health Department in Pulaski County and in a majority of counties in Kentucky are old. 75 or more years ago, you know, mm-hmm. long before I was born. mm-hmm. And I can remember a lot of health officers before Dr. Norfleet. I can name name a few of them, given a little time, you know, Dr. Severs was the one who was health officer when I enrolled in the primary grades in school. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. there was yours followed him, and there was a whole line of health officers. I can remember at least a half a dozen of them.
Dr. Severs was a company town doctor in McCrary, wasn't he, at one time?
Yeah, I believe he mm-hmm. was.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go on, because we've got a limited amount of time, into the current. When you established the district office, when was that?
The district office it was established in 1971. Mm-hmm. And in February 1971, we got our charter as the first district health department in the state of Kentucky, formed by contiguous counties. The fiscal courts taking action to converge their county health departments into a single health department to serve those counties.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know you just come back from a grueling day with the family health clinics. I'm somewhat familiar, just as an outsider coming into this, what I conceive as a real problem in these rural, isolated areas in terms of delivering babies. Could you comment a little bit on that? I interviewed Lena Stevens, and while I'm sure she's well-meaning person and is doing the work, but there seems to be, could you comment on the situation in the counties now, in that area? Just, and it's not just here, it's Lexington too, but of the crisis, it seems to me almost a crisis in terms of obstetrics.
Yeah. Well, I've been conversant with the problems of obstetrics in this general area, of course, for the last 25 years. I've worked pretty close to it, and given prenatal care that whole time in some areas where it was not obtainable anywhere except at the health department. And in the early part of these years, Lena Stevens and Joe
Roberts,
you know, delivered the majority of the babies in McCreary County. And We gave prenatal care to a lot of them at the health department. In those days, of course, the infant mortality rate varied anywhere from 40 to 60. But even in Pulaski County, where all of the family doctors delivered babies, they didn't get prenatal care back then. We had a survey along just about 1970, I mean, along about the time that the district health department was formed. And there was 55% of women coming to term in Pulaski County that did not have prenatal care. And of course, this has changed. I mean, nearly all of them are getting prenatal care now because the health department is providing prenatal care for the one-third of the population that cannot obtain it privately. And of course, that figure of one-third has been what has transpired in the last decade. Presently, we're heading into a new decade in which the people who cannot obtain it by privately is going to rapidly mushroom, you see.
There was headlines in the paper that was headlines,
right.
If you don't have $2,000, don't think of having a baby.
And one of the reasons that it's going to mushroom is that the doctors, you see, McCreary County and Russell County have long been without any physicians that would look at a pregnant woman. I mean, they don't give prenatal care and delivery and maternal services, no maternal care. The doctors in McCreary County and Russell County do not. And that's been, that's helped that way for a long time. But in Pulaski County, about 12 years ago, 10 or 12 years ago, the family doctors, all the general practitioners and people who had been given prenatal care and delivering babies, suddenly their business office says, here, look, your malpractice insurance premiums cost us $18,000 last year. We did not collect that much from maternal care. You're going in a hole and wasting your time by seeing pregnant women. You stop it. So they listened to their businessman, and they quit delivering babies. I mean, it was a burden to them that they didn't feel like they were justified in having. One of the reasons it was this way, it was because people who have money and can pay for good prenatal care and so forth felt that they didn't want to be delivered just by a family doctor, you know. They wanted to be delivered by a specialist. And so there was a couple of specialists had located in town, and the ones with money all went there, and the family doctors were left with the ones who couldn't pay their bills. And so now that has just recently spread to the surrounding counties. The poor people in Pulaski County for several years have been able to go to Wayne County or to Casey County or over to Columbia and get a family, and Clinton County, and have a family doctor deliver their baby in a hospital. But that situation has changed in the last 6 months. I mean, the doctors in Casey County and in Adair County, and all of them but one in Wayne County, and he's the old one, Dr. Duncan, you know, is the only one.
I'm familiar with that case, and I interviewed Dr. Roberts, who fills in. And he's a lot older. He doesn't need to be present.
Shouldn't be.
I know. And I talked to Dr. Duncan, and Dr. Roberts, when I interviewed him, he expressed real concern that what's going to happen when he and Dr. Duncan are gone.
Yeah.
So I know what you're talking about.
So what?
And Wayne. Yeah. And Wayne seems better off than the others currently, right? Because
right. Of course, what we have to do... And I wish that I had twice as many hours in the day, you know, because the problem is just so much bigger than I am, and so on. But what we have to do is to expand what we're doing presently to give adequately training and supervision and so forth to advanced registered nurse practitioners, to establish birthing centers. And presently we have just submitted a proposal to ARC to try to get some funding to get it off the ground, some sort of birthing center in Monticello to serve Wayne and McCree counties, as well as some portions of Pulaski County, and some part of, and it's on the south side of the lake. Transportation goes that way, you see. And in the people north of the lake, in Russell, Casey, and Adair counties, would need to be served by another birthing center situated either at Russell Springs or Columbia. Mm-hmm. And staffing these birthing centers is going to be a problem. And there's going to have to be government money in it, because these people, the reason we have the problem in the first place is they're poor. This district that I serve has one of the lower per capita incomes of any of the districts in the whole United States. And a lot of people don't realize this, but they do well just to keep shoes on their children's feet and keep them in school, you know, and a little food on the table, and they cannot afford $2,000 hospital bills for the birth of a new baby. And we have lots of factors working against the family planning programs, and so we have lots of failures in that program because there are too many anti-family planners in this country right now. They're in every phase of government, and all the we don't have one politician that will bite the bullet and say we should help pay for this woman to protect herself against pregnancy. They don't want to say that. They'll say, no, the government should not pay for that, because they think that if they admitted the government should appropriate some money to pay for that, then they would lose votes. And we don't have statesmen, we have politicians anymore.
Let's talk just a little bit about some of the other areas in the area of sanitation. Could you talk a little bit about that? You do some of that work, obviously. Do you have sanitarians on the staff?
Well, yes. We have we had six sanitarians in the Fire County District just before we expanded, and we acquired some new sanitarians. We probably acquired about six more whenever we expanded. So we have 10, 12 sanitarians.
Do you have the money to adequately? Are there any
problems? There's been a reduction in the dollar amount of money going into environmental health in local health departments over the years from state and federal sources. And in a poor area like this, in which the taxation from the local is the taxing power is so low, we couldn't expand this money locally and pick up the loss of money that we lost from state and federal sources. So that financing environmental health at the local level has been bad. And we have been, sweating over the idea that maybe we will have to reduce environmental health staff. it's pretty top, I mean, it's pretty heavy for the amount of money we got. They've been working for low wages, and we haven't been able to increase wages, and when we have done it at the expense of other programs, which would maybe not be related to environmental health.
Well, does mental health come under your jurisdiction?
No, mental health is under another line of management in Kentucky.
Is that the comprehensive care?
Comprehensive care centers.
What is the generals? Do you have them in each community, and or are they regionalized?
They're regionalized. 15 regions in Kentucky, along the lines of the Ed's district.
What other types of programs do you have here in addition to sanitation and?
Well, there are, of course, we have quite a few programs. The highest priority we put on family planning, and the next highest priority, I think, we put on the maternal and infant care programs, which includes prenatal care, delivery, well child care, and it includes the WIC program. Now, I don't know if you know what the WIC program is. The initials WIC stands for Women, Infants, and Children. And what it is a nutritional supplement program funded by the through the Department of Agriculture, two health departments. And we enroll pregnant women or infants in this program who have a nutritional deficiency. By virtue of history and examination, we determine that they have a nutritional deficiency. They're not getting enough protein in their diet or something like this. So we, in this WIC program, it is the best outreach program that we have ever had. Through this program, we get every woman who's pregnant in for early prenatal care, because if she has not got money and getting it through private resources, she needs this food that she's going to get. And so we write them a check for the, we prescribe. It's like writing a prescription, and it's good as cash money. They take it to the grocery store and turn it over for food. But it has to be written out by the nursing staff. You see, after an examination and counseling and so on, and determine what they need to fill in their nutritional needs. And it has made a remarkable difference in the health of women coming to term, and I mean, when they're in delivery, they have much higher hemoglobin levels. The babies have a better birth weight, and they're healthier. We've just had a remarkable improvement in our statistics, maternal and infant statistics, with that WIC program. But we reach them with it too. We get almost 100% of them. They come in because they like that program. They want that food and so on. And we get, not only that, they keep our babies coming into the Well Baby Clinic, and we get them all immunized. And so it is one of the best health programs that's come down the pike.
Certainly sounds like it. And I can see the motivation of mm-hmm. coming. If they have hunger, they need the food.
Yeah.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's tremendous. And how long has this WIC program been in existence?
Well, we started the program before the federal program started. We started with an old grant in this district. Of course, this district has notoriously been the pioneer for public health programs in Kentucky. I don't know if you know that or not.
No.
But it has. We have started nearly all the programs we got going in Kentucky. We started them here first. We've course, that's by virtue of the fact that I started the whole district concept. I wrote up the original plan and put it into action here, and it was then the state encouraged other areas to try to follow suit a year later after we had a good track record, you see, and something for them to follow. But we did pilot a program similar to the WIC program with an OEO grant here.
What year was that?
And I'm trying to put my it was about the time that the is 1971. I'm sure of that.
About the time you get the district, yeah. It all came, mm-hmm. That was when you really initiated.
Yeah, that was one of the first things we did with the new district, is start working with mothers and babies about their nutritional state. We had, I had a nurse midwife at the time and some other nurses with some advanced training in maternal and child health. And these nurses had seen these women in prenatal care and discovered their horrendous deficiencies, like low hemoglobins and so forth, and they knew they were high risk to be in real trouble and to have sick babies, at the time they're born. But they couldn't do much about it if nobody was going to buy the milk and cheese and the eggs and so forth at the grocery store and take them off of that bulldog gravy that they were sustaining themselves with. You see, they needed high protein, they needed more protein in their diets, but there was no way to get it. And so the nurses were really in tears over this. And so we started a program to try to get them supplementary vitamins and minerals. We got capsules with the OEO grant. We got some nutrition. We got baby formula on this OEO grant. This was we had that 18 months before the WIC program was funded.
That sounds tremendous. One thing that I wanted to ask is, what relationship do you have to the home care service?
Well, up until now, we've been primarily a referral agency to the home health agency here. We work closely with them back and forth, and in some counties we house them in the same building. The main reason that we the home care program, the home health agency, was established at the hospital originally here, primarily because it needed to have a good, close working relationship with the private sector of medicine. And if it were established at the hospital and functioned as a part of the hospital, which it did originally at the Old City Hospital, it had this built-in relationship with the practicing physicians. And the health department relationship between practicing physicians and health departments always been rather strained, and referrals from them to the health department would be a little bit hard to come by, and we didn't think it worked effectively. So it was set up at my request at the Old City Hospital, and as a part of the hospital and under hospital management. But then when the hospital became decrepit because of lack of local support, community support, and so on, it wouldn't expand, and it couldn't renovate, and so on, and they got a private hospital come in here and took its place. Well, the private for-profit hospital refused to take the home health agency and manage it, so it was set up under an independent board now and operates as an independent agency. But it still worked fairly closely with the health department, in that we have cross referrals between us.
That must be awful confusing, though, to the people out there as to what's what.
Yeah. But there's been some complaint that the home health agency operates like the for-profit hospital. They don't go unless the money is there, and things like this. And so there has been a request that the health department pick up on some home services. Principally among the people who are welfare patients, have Medicaid cards and things like this, and are not provided enough service to make them self-sustaining and independent and remain at home, and have to be admitted to nursing home care, which has become extremely expensive, about broke the back of the state Medicaid system. And so we've been requested at the health department to develop a program of delivering preventive services with these elderly people on Medicaid cards, and try to prevent their conditions from deteriorating to the point where they'll have to be admitted to an institution. And it's felt that the government can support a preventive program much more economically than it can this here terminal thing in a nursing home and so on for months and months and months, even years. And
it's so much more humane.
Yeah, more humane. Those people just, they dragged to those nursing homes with protesting. You know, that they do not want to go, they want to stay home. And the health department is putting in motion a program to help them sustain their health at a level that they can remain home and independent. You know, whenever you've got hypertensive cardiovascular disease and so forth, there are things that you need to do to prevent it from deteriorating to the point where you can't take care of yourself.
What, there's one other development here that I'd like you to comment on. There is, seems to be a clinic being formed, sort of a neighborhood clinic down in McCrory County, down in Whitley County. What is your opinion of that? I mean, what and how is it? Is this going to be a private neighborhood type thing? I believe one of the sisters that works for the Sister Lorraine that works for the agency we talked about is trying to start it.
I don't know as much as I'd like to know about that. I've been encouraged by the news that that they're working on that, and you know, and certainly the health department will be supportive in any way we can. They definitely do need a non-profit type of clinic working with acutely sick people in that neighborhood.
And I think they're kind of the ideal, and I've just read an article in the newspaper, I hadn't had the chance to interview this sister, is that their ideal is it to be a total preventive care community, not a holistic approach. It sounds great, whether it can work or not.
Yeah, I mean, definitely the need is there, and I would like, to tie that in with any health department program when we get it going there, you know, so that we can enhance each other.
Well, I appreciate so much you giving me this interview. I really do, and it gives me hope. I've been down here a couple of weeks, and I was getting a little in the melancholy about the whole situation, but talking to you, I feel this hope, and I really appreciate you giving me this interview.
Yeah, well, I enjoyed talking with you. I wish we had a few days to talk.
Oh, I do too. I do too. I think that it would be very profitable.
very profitable.
I can talk for weeks on the unique and interesting kinds of situations we've had in public health in these counties, particularly McCreary County. And it is a unique county. It's made a lot of history. It'd take me a long time to.
Right. Someday I wish we'd have the time to develop it, but yeah. You have a good time on your vacation. Just get away from this.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.